here, and tonight we are going to take a sneak peek at 2017 using the shamanic astrology that Eric Roth, one of my guests, is going to bring with us. I'm really excited about this tonight, and so without further ado, I'm just going to bring Eric on. Hello, Eric. Please take a moment and introduce yourself and tell us where we can find you on the web, and then we'll get right into it.
Great. This is Eric Roth, and I am a shamanic astrologer, and I've been practicing this form of astrology, which was created by Daniel Giammario. I've been practicing it officially since 2010, but since 2004, I've been involved in the work. And you can find me online under my business name, inspiralnexus.com, spiral, like the spiral, you see, spiral, and then the word nexus, nexus.com. And for those of you who want to contact me by phone, it's 971-404-7117, and by email, it's inspiralnexus@gmail.com.
Excellent. And for people who are listening in tonight, we do have the chat room open. Already have one person there. Hello to whoever that person is. And if you want to ask questions of Eric as we're going through tonight's thing, you can do that. Please keep in mind that the questions should really be about, you know, kind of like what he's talking about in regards to shamanic astrology for this coming year, 2017. So please keep that in mind. Don't be like, oh, hey, it's a relationship question, because he's not going to be able to do a reading for you on the spot. And also, it's you know, we're focused on a specific topic of the coming year and kind of prepare for it. I'm also on Facebook, so if you want to ask your question that way, you can hit me up via PM, and I'll be happy to relay the question on to Eric. So, Eric, it is Happy New Year. It's 2017 now, and of course this is going to be, it looks like it's going to be an interesting year already. I mean, we've got Trump coming into office on the 20th. I'm sure that particular day, if you did an astrological reading, you probably saw like some crazy plutonic energy or something like that. what can you tell us about 2017? Let's pull back the veil and find out from you, like, what did you discover when you took a sneak peek at 2017?
Oh, thank you. Yes, Happy New Year, 2017. 2017 is if we want to really look at it in a reasonable way, we look at the and how I do this is I tend to look at, as other astrologers do too, the what we call the outer planet alignments, which are, you know, the planets that are, you know, Jupiter and outward in the solar system. And these things help us understand the intent of the coming year or a season or a specific cycle or an age. And we're kind of caught right now in what we call the turning of the ages, and it's being defined by a specific alignment that's been going on really in the beginning stages of it since 2007, and even more since 2008 when Pluto entered Capricorn. But if you go back to, and this alignment follows a pattern, so if you go back to the late 20s, and then most of the 1930s during the Great Depression, and the bust and the rise of nationalism, there was another major Pluto-Uranus alignment. And then, in, of course, the 1960s, 1961 through 1970, we had another huge, intense alignment that kind of helps us understand the context of where we are today, because at this point, we're still in the midst of a great change in this world. The United States, of course, is on the front lines for this, and we can see why, in some respects, how Trump became elected, at least astrologically, I can see that, in a sense, based on the alignments that are happening here. But it's if we think that 2016 was a wild year, it's only opening up the cracks for more intensity and wildness and bizarre events and things that would blow our minds, as 2016 did. And this stage, this phase, is really not going to end anytime soon. It's going to continue for several more years, but 2017 is another hallmark year where we're entering unknown territory. This really is the great unknown, and we can set our intent, I-N-T-I-E-T-E-N-T, about what we want to manifest in this year. And you might even say it's a highly unpredictable year, although there are some themes, some major themes that are being played out here in 2017. And I can certainly review those that are going to be, and certain date periods which are going to be looked at. There's a major total solar eclipse here in the United States on August 21st, which is a very rare event, and it only is visible in the United States. And so that's even rarer. And then being in the midst of the great change that's happening, the place that it's happening is pretty wild. And Trump, Donald Trump, is actually, strangely enough, involved in all of this. He's, in a sense, he's become a vessel for some of the wild energies that are happening. Revolutions, nationalism, the masculine-feminine relationship, gender, sexual orientation, all of that, and of course economy, all of that is being like really, really up there in the main stage, more than it has in a long time in recent years. So it's interesting to see this relationship evolve, and yes, that inauguration that's coming up soon. That's another this month. February and also into early March is also a time when I don't think things are going to go the way we think they may go, and even then, trying to have expectations about what will really happen is, I think, futile, actually, because it is just this great wild card that's we've entered into. When Trump got elected, a little later after the election, I thought we just entered something called Bizarro World, and I had no idea what just took place. It was like, did we just cross into another dimension? What happened here? And of course, looking through at the alignments, and then of course, as my trade in astrology, shamanic astrology, I can look at those and go, okay, what's really taking place? And in order to get an understanding of what's happening now, we just like historians, we look at the past and we look at trends, and we can see what events took place in certain years based on certain alignments that were there and are repeating in this age. So that's kind of an overview of 2017, and I can go into some great detail here as we move forward.
Before we get to that, can you define what you mean by like the turning of the ages, you said that period that like starting like 2007, 2008, like the turning of the ages, like what do you mean by that, just for people that may not understand what that means?
Well, the 2007 date that I gave is the time when Uranus and Pluto came within what we call a shamanic conjunction, a conjunction within 10 degrees. So in the sky, if you if both of those planets were visible, we can, not conjunction, I mean a square. If both of those planets were visible, they'd be within, kind of an L-shape, 90-degree angle. But when I mean by turning of the ages, that is a much larger cosmological clock. And it points to an entire 26,000-year cycle that the Earth experiences, by its wobble, and it's approaching, or it's in the midst of one 26,000 period ending and another one beginning. And so we're in this very long period of essentially the center of which is 72 years long, and we're kind of closer to the center still, although on kind of more towards the back end of it, which started in the 1960s and will continue on until the early 2030s. And so this period was when essentially when all the that wobble is essentially if you mark one point across the sky, it'll take that point 26,000 years to rotate around on the same date back to where it was. That's a rough year estimate. And ancient cultures knew about this. They knew about this. It's barely perceptible to human eyes, but we can measure it and we can take it down. And we're now in that period where we've come back across through that kind of in this gateway zone into the unknown, into a new age. And it's taking a long time to, as we've experienced, to get from one thing to another, and it requires a certain amount of cleaning house, of revolutions, of collective consciousness to rise to new levels. And usually when we have things that move in one direction, there is a counter movement that wants to stop that in the collective consciousness. And, you know, we're seeing some of that happening certainly in 2016 and moving now into 2017 with the rise of the Trumpians and the nationalists. So yeah, that's what I mean by the turning of the ages.
Okay. So thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it. So again, I want to say to people who are listening that if you have questions for Eric, the chat room is open. You can ask them there. You can also feel free to PM me on Facebook, and I will relay the question on that way. Either way, be happy to do that. But let's continue on. So let's talk a little bit then about, like, you know, some of the trends or the particular cycles that you saw in 2017. I mean, you mentioned that it's going to be a wild year. It's going to kind of continue the wildness of 2016. And I can believe it. I mean, you know, Trump's very unpredictable. So, and of course, it's not just about Trump. I mean, there's other things too. But
sure,
he certainly is certainly playing a particular role. And I think the thing that I found interesting, and I want you to come back to this later, actually, also, so I'll just mention this right now, but the thing I found interesting is you kind of mentioning that he's like kind of like an avatar for certain forces. So, but anyway, let's talk about the cycles first.
Okay. Yeah, the cycles. I mean, in this this year, the cycles that are taking place, as I mentioned, the Uranus-Pluto. Now, there was a very small 3-year period in which Uranus and Pluto were within 1 degree of an actual square, and they were really tight between 2012 and 2015. That was like a really powerful point, and in this particular age. And now we've seen the releasing of that energy. It's like that, perhaps that we can look at it as when two things come together, and they you know, an impossible force and an unmovable object, they come together, there's a reaction. And then it's that point. It's not that point is the day that all events are going to happen, but it's the release of that energy outward after that point happens. And we're seeing that out after effects of that from that 2012 to 2015 period. And in 2016, you know, we've had new alignments come in addition to this Uranus-Pluto alignment. And in this year, we have a third player that whenever a faster moving planet aligns itself with slower moving planets, those are activation planets. Those are planets that help activate the other planet's energy archetypally, planetarily, and bringing it into the collective. And in this case, with the planet Jupiter, this year, it's expanding that. It's making it larger than life through its alignments all year long, all the way through looking at this, all the way through November essentially, until Jupiter moves out of that alignment at the end of the year. And these, there are certain months during that year where it will be especially interesting to watch. And one of them that I mentioned earlier was the August period, where there's a total solar eclipse. And that's going across the United States, and only the United States, and into the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean, so all the way across. And that particular month during August, as well as kind of carrying over into September after the release of that energy, the U.S., the United States chart, is at the effect of, and on a personal level, on a national level, not just because of the actual physical effects of an eclipse that lasts about 2 minutes long over the continental U.S., but astrological effects, and that this eclipse, which is right just about a degree away from the star Regulus, near the planet Mars, and a very rare occurrence where we'll be able to see the stars for a couple of minutes in the middle, in the morning, depending on where you are in the U.S. in the middle of the day. This is that where it's that's another people look at total eclipses or lunar eclipses or eclipses in general as gateways or as points in time where there's new energy coming in and or an illumination of or a fruition of energy, and sometimes that energy is the shadow. In the case of a lunar eclipse, it's definitely the shadow. And in the case of, because it's Earth's shadow being projected upon the moon, in the case of the solar eclipse, it's the shadow of the moon coming down to us, and as if there's this new beginning. It's a super new moon, a new beginning of being taken place. It's a time where we can plant new seeds. It's a time where we can plant new seeds and new ideas, new projects, new things that we want to do. And if there was any time during that year to do it, that would be a very special time to do high ceremony or high magic, and really work with that. And it's nothing that it means that something's people in ancient times used to, in certain cultures, used to fear the that kind of an eclipse or a lunar blood moon eclipse. But in this case, we've kind of understood it a little better. And my approach is that it's a high ceremonial sacred event that we can take into ourselves. No matter what kind of chart you have, we're all going to experience it here in the U.S. on some level. And we can work with it intentionally. On some people, it affects their personal charts, astrology charts. And in the case of the United States, and also in the case of Donald Trump, both of those cases, the eclipse is absolutely personal for both of them. And Trump has many alignments, many astrological alignments and connections to the U.S. chart. And that August to September period is going to be one of the crescendos, a thing that to really watch out for when it comes to nationalism, when it comes to Trump trying to ignore, what we call a stress deflection not taking it in, not taking responsibility for himself. That's going to be a time where he may face some of his greatest challenges possibly in his life, but certainly in this coming presidency. There are other months to look for that have to do with this what we call wild card, intense revolutionary energy, and the periods of February and March. I mentioned August and September, as well as July and October. So there's a period really during all of the summer, in this mid part of late winter, early spring. And then those particular periods have to all about the Uranus-Pluto with Jupiter involved. We're in a place now to open our minds to new possibilities, new opportunities in our lives. And during those months, it is that time where anything is possible. It's like the that the world has entered this space where we can create anything that we can dream up. And it's like it's allowing for us to have a platform for that. And we've evolved to a certain point. We've certainly got over the last few hundred years, we've certainly evolved a higher consciousness. But there's a long way to go, and there is a lot of backlash, wanting to go back to what they felt was the golden age of, say, the United States or the world. And that golden age, you know, in the early parts of the 20th century or the mid parts of the 20th century before the 1960s, was that time that they were going back to. And that's we've evolved well beyond that time, and yet it's like a counter-revolution to the revolution that's been going on for years, a counter-revolution of nationalism. And you're also seeing it in Britain with Brexit. We're seeing it in Russia with Vladimir Putin kind of taking charge and being this kind of almost this semi-dictator. And then we're also seeing in the Philippines and some other countries that have elected certain strong hands, certain nationalist fever to have this platform. But it's these people aren't really elected in general with the majority of the population. It's like a kind of a sly, almost con artist kind of way to get into office. And with a lot of empty promises and low percentage of the population actually voting for you, depending on the rules. And the United States is one of those where we have these. There's come into question about the electoral process, and I think that question is going to continue through this year. I mentioned earlier that Trump and the United States have some very special connections. It was almost as if looking at his chart, seeing like, wow, he really almost was intended to become the president on some level or some kind of leader. He's Leo rising, Leo Mars, and this connection has some karmic connections with the U.S. They have some connections in other plates of his chart, but it's this connection. It means that there's something that needs to be done, and that he's become a symbol of that, and bringing it out. Don't get me wrong. I certainly have personally against what almost everything that he stands for, but astrologically speaking, I try to have a look at it from an independent point of view as much as possible without bias. But and he's meant to take us somewhere on some level so that we can, at a greater country, can wake up to who we really are, and in order to see our own shadows, the shadow of the U.S., the shadow of the masculine and feminine, and the continued evolution of that relationship. We're meant to see all of that, and we're entering this new time. And this is 2017 is really also a platform, like 2016 was, to the next stage of big cycles, and that's that comes between 2019 and 2021. This is this period of time when there's an incredibly rare conjunction that takes place, and will be just before, a few years before the United States goes through a major, what we call Pluto return. And Pluto's definitely been heavily involved lately, and will continue to be. And it's the 2020 election is going to make the 2016 election look like it was normal. I think, in any way, from the astrological alignments that are here. So we're looking at something that I know people are scared out there that they don't know what's going to happen, and it's like some of us are not feeling like we're on solid ground, and that's perfectly natural. But it also gives us opportunities to try new things, to add novelty into our life, to open up to new frontiers and create the future that we really want, because that's part of what it's about. we're really trying to align with our life purpose and our soul's intent in this lifetime. And so how do we go about doing that? Well, some of these planetary alignments are there to help us get to that place. And as a greater collective, for sure, we're evolving, and we get to choose our direction. And according to the election, we chose a specific direction that we wanted to go, at least for the U.S. I mean, even Britain chose a direction last year, a major coup of exiting the European Union, and that there's still a lot of after effects, aftershocks from that particular vote that took place last June. So there are other moments here when it comes to the solar eclipse. Going back to that for a moment, the United States is having there's this. In shamanic astrology, we look at someone's moon sign as their origin, where they came from, what they mastered coming in this world. And everything that has a birth or a first breath in the world has a chart. So anything that has a beginning has a chart, astrology chart that you can be calculated. The U.S. is no exception. All countries, nations, municipalities, businesses, and so forth, and of course humans and other life have birth. And in the United States, at the time that it was formed, the moon was in the sign of Aquarius at that time. And between March 7th and September 7th of 2017, the south node of the moon, transit-wise, will be in conjunction with the United States moon. And that moon is like one of the major center points of how this U.S. is going to be defined. There's other points here, too, regarding the masculine and feminine, which I'll get into, but it's our idealism, our roots of our country, the founding of who we were, the origin point, and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all of it being kind of put into a space where certain decisions need to be made, certain priorities need to be looked at, and what direction we want to go. And it's also a time for also shedding our skin, letting go of things that no longer work for us as a nation. And I mentioned before that Trump also has some alignments with the U.S. Well, because of his ascendant in Mars that he was born in Leo, it's in the same polarity as the U.S. moon. And having that there, and again, in August, that total solar eclipse takes place. So while the U.S. is going through a major cycle, the solar eclipse takes into account. Trump is at the center point of that, not only in his personal life, but also with the country. And so this is where this period between March 7th and September 7th is where this is going to, with the center point being June 7th of that. That's where the exact actual conjunction takes place between the transiting south node, which is a point in the sky that controls the solar and lunar eclipses that we see. With Donald Trump and having those forces kind of come together. And it's more than synchronicity. There's an intention here. And I'm seeing that Trump has become an avatar or a force to wake up the country. He's very divisive, antagonistic, and he's also very much a showman. He likes to pull people's chains, and he really doesn't care what the result ends up being, as long as he has advantage at the end. And part of the reason why he makes the statements that he does. And so that is going to be taken to task, not only for him, but for the country and how we look at that, how we see. And it really is going to be a huge wake-up call. I think it's going to be very sobering for us. And I think in a positive way, in a beneficial way for the country in the long term. Not that, I think that he, should serve office for many years or anything like that. But I think that he's is going to help us in some way realize some of the things that we've we're complacent in, or perhaps we're subconsciously asleep in, not realizing that that was coming forward. A lot of the things that took place in the 1930s, also in the 1960s, cultural revolutions, nationalism, sexual revolutions, gender revolutions, and music, all of this came about in the midst of these alignments that we're talking about. And we're seeing a lot of that happening even today, even technological revolutions. I think this is nearing a completion of what was brought forth in the 1930s, and a higher octave of what took place in the 1960s, especially the mid to late 1960s. We're seeing some incredibly amazing things like gender identity revolutions, and I'm just extremely happy to see these come across. What is the definition of the masculine and the feminine? How do we define ourselves as human beings, or other genders? What is sexual orientation? The question of marriage. All of that has been in front and center for us as human beings, and not only in the United States, but in other parts, especially in other Western cultures. We're seeing that come through, and this is not something that's going to end. This our revolutions on that is not going to end. It's going to be, there is this counter movement, Trump and the nationalists and some ultra alt-right people that come forward to try to push back. And that's a natural thing for a pushback on that. But it's what I look at is a last resort extremism coming forward, people not wanting to allow change to come into the world, not wanting this evolution to keep taking place. And it's natural for that to happen, that counter movement. And so we're going to see also a backlash on the backlash from the what I call the kind of the Trumpians or the nationalists, the alt-right people. And we're already kind of seeing that. We saw that the day after the election. We're seeing, which is just an immediate reaction, but we're going to be seeing much more proactive activism rise up. In not just in 2017, but this is kind of planting the seeds for even future, even more in the future on that. How am I doing here? Are you needing to ask some more questions here?
Yeah, but we actually do have a question.
Okay.
Felix asked, if you could explain how you draw the chart for the United States.
Okay. That's a good question. What I use is there's a chart that was created, and I can't remember the person's name, but the chart that's been used for there's other versions of it. But the time is, of course, July 4th, 1776, at 5:13:55 p.m. in Philadelphia, PA. This is a birth time that was gathered from an astrologer. Dane Rajar, and he was a prolific writer of astrology in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. And he created a whole new movement of astrology called humanistic astrology, which is helped influence the creation of shamanic astrology in part. But there is a book that he wrote about the USA, and I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but it's about the USA. It's actually one in part of the title of it, about going forward in the world and its placement. And he does a whole book analysis on the U.S. And so that's the chart that I use, and that's the chart that the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School uses, which gives the U.S. a rising sign of Sagittarius at 13 degrees 10 minutes. In fact, there's some other things I want to share about the U.S. chart, but that's to answer Felix's question. That's what I get.
Well, let's go right into those things you want to share, since that seems particularly appropriate. So
yes, here's another Trump U.S. connection, and Saturn who's been known by many names throughout the world for many thousands of years, all across the world. Almost every culture has something along the lines of a Saturn-like figure. You know, changes over time depending on the ruling, the leaders that come into power, but or the other cultures that come into power, like the Greco-Roman times. But Saturn right now is in the sign of Sagittarius. And it's right at this moment, actually, and let's look at the actual degrees. Saturn is at exactly on Trump's moon. Not his moon, I'm sorry. It's squaring his moon. But it's conjunct. Saturn is conjunct his natal moon in opposition to his natal sun. So he was born, Trump was born under a full moon. With that, it's also, Saturn is, so he's going through this really powerful time with Saturn on the front lines. But his natal moon and his natal sun, this full moon, with right now Saturn, where it is right now in the sky, is going over that place on his chart, as well as the part of the U.S. chart, Mars. It's in opposition to that. So there's this great line and axis that's forming with Saturn, activating Trump's chart, activating the U.S. chart, and when it comes to the masculine, when it comes to the U.S. has the Mars in Gemini, which is the trickster, which is the entertainer, the comedian, the not taking things seriously. And Trump has a huge alignment with that. And we can see that. We can see his Gemini energy on stage when he, along with Leo, as he goes about his business and saying things and then contrasting himself and really contradicting himself all the time and saying one thing and then saying another the next day or maybe a month later. That is definitely Gemini, and it's kind of on the fly of what he wants. The U.S. and Trump have this special connection there, and they're going through the same cycle together. And with Saturn, when Saturn does all of this, it creates a heaviness, a density to these forces, to these archetypes that I've just talked about. It creates a density, it creates a mantra of growth through limits and boundaries. It means that a person has to really get real with their life. They have to man their ship. They have to write a priority list and invest in their future, and not fuck around. I mean, they are there to really do their homework and follow the laws, follow the rules. And because he has a tendency to make it up as he goes along, and in fact, the United States also has some characteristics of that. That means that he's gonna be going through a check and balance here with that. I mean, it's almost like the queen has checked his king at this point, and will continue through most of 2017, all the way through. Let's look here through October of 2017. So because the masculine and his own past is involved, how we can also ask ourselves, like, is not Trump someone that likes to be macho and likes to stand up on stage and, you know, flutter his feathers and, you know, rattle his sabers and be this quote, you know, symbolism of this quote alpha male, this old version of the alpha male? Well, this is being put into question. This is like, how do we define that? And what is a man? How do we define ourselves as men in this world? And how do women their relationship to the masculine? And this is another big part of that. And other genders to the relationship with the masculine. How do they develop that with? And Trump being this really, he doesn't know what he truly is doing up there. In some ways, he may think he does, but he. In this connection that I'm analyzing here, it's he's let's just say that he he bit off a lot more than he can chew. And, you know, if he was someone that actually looked at his cycles at the time that, you know, he was running for president, for example, depending on the type of astrology, but he actually took them seriously, then perhaps he would take things a little more conservatively in his approach because of what's taking place now. And it's like if a person has a Saturn cycle and they're always, they don't care, they're running red lights or they're speeding a lot. Well, this is the time when they, you know, they get pulled over. This is a time where they get the bill. The bill comes due. And the bill's coming due for him and the U.S. for, in a sense, electing this person to office. So we're at the front lines of this as a country, and we can decide how we want to approach this. And of course, there's so many variables there. We, you know, with Congress, with all the laws, we really don't know exactly how it's all going to turn out, the people that he's appointing and so forth. But that is a very special cycle that's taking place in his first year here in office that will, I believe that there is this great opportunity where he will be humbled in a beneficial way. And that's part of my hope, is that he's humbled and he actually can be reflective of that, of what's happened. Perhaps that won't actually take place and he'll ignore and he'll fight and he'll resist. And then we'll get to see an enormous drama take place on the presidential stage that, unlike anything we've seen in a long time. So that's what I wanted to share about Trump and the U.S. right there.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, you know, is there anything you would suggest in regards to just 2017 in general, not related to the U.S. or Trump, but just, like, in general for people to, like, be prepared for, things they should be thinking about or you know, things they should recognize? And I recognize, of course, I want to mention here to anyone who's listening, I recognize that, you know, each person's astrological chart is different. I mean, I've actually gone to Eric and had him do readings for me, and I've always found them to be very helpful. Highly recommend Eric for anyone who wants to get their astrology reading. But I think, you know, you've kind of given us a general sense of what to expect. Is there anything that you would say stands out to you about 2017 beyond the political scene or anything like that?
You mean for, like, people on a personal level, for themselves to, you know, what to...
Yeah, people on a personal level for themselves, you know, things they might want to be prepared for or think about or just things to see, you know, kind of how can they approach this year and, you know, take from it whatever they can in a way that's healthy for them and healthy for other people as well.
That's a great question. Some of what I would advise or suggest would be to have as much of an open mind as absolutely possible, to not resist the changes that come. What I mean by that is that certainly there are some changes that can be resisted, in a sense of certainly if they're harmful changes to us, to our body, to our minds. But to be open to the possibilities of what 27 can bring to us, to set ourselves some not fixed goals, but very, very flexible goals that do not sit down with these heavy anchors of expectations, so that can help free our minds. It can free where we're going. Now, there are some people out there that need these fixed and hard level plans, you know, month by month and forecast for themselves. But what I would share with those people is to create some wiggle room in that, to allow for some additional changes. Sometimes it can be, these changes can feel regressive, as if you've taken some steps backward. But notice that those steps backward can help you clean up the debris of your past. The special alignments that are taking place, because there is definitely some powerful underworld energy that is happening, it's best to, because we're all going through on a collective level a dark night. when it comes to the structure of our lives, when it comes to events beyond our control. We're all on some larger level experiencing that. And so it's best to almost invite your fears to tea, to bring them into the fore and going, okay, let's have a conversation, let's have dialogue and find out why I'm afraid of that. What does it mean? And look in the mirror and see the truth of it. This is part of the intention here for this year, but also to be open to epiphanies and revolutionary thoughts and ways of doing things that you've never done before. Because we're all playing a role now to help us get the collective toward an unknown future. And we can manifest what we want. We can create what we want. And to be open to that, to know that we can gather that courage within ourselves to step out and do that. Some of the things, you know, there's certainly a lot of global things happening, like the Islamic State and terrorism and the fears around the political scene, and certainly fears around our rights being taken away. I have this feeling that this situation is allowing us to come forward and go, wait, no, I want this now in my life, and I'm going to take it by the horns and do it. It's almost like seizing the day, carpe diem. This is the time where we can truly seize that. There's also other layers around this about fantasy, illusion, and the healing of our wounds. And I would say to this that this is where one of the things I haven't talked about is this Neptune process. Neptune's been in Pisces now for about 4 years, 5 years, and it will continue to be in Pisces for quite a long time. And what that brings up is we've crossed into this virtual world, and we've been able to use the structure, the structure in place to create a world for ourselves that's where in some ways people do it to escape reality, but in other ways they do it to enhance their reality and actually get in connection between the alternate world and this continued world. This is a time that will open up even more doors to that. I feel with the progression of where Neptune is going that we can continue to open up those domains and work with them especially on a spiritual level. This is not a time to abandon our spiritual selves. To give up on that. In fact, it's a time where we can enhance that. We can strengthen that for ourselves, and allow it to guide us, because it's going to be needed. It's going to be needed a lot. That's for sure over these next 12 months. I know people will have other kinds of questions about that, but that's in general for people on a personal level. Some people are still suffering from many years of the economic collapse that took place. They're still maybe not well off, or they're in spaces where it's hard to get food or water or things like that. Well, This year, what is this year is intending to bring is greater, much greater awareness around that, and allow us to open up the corridors. In fact, one of the things I talked about in previous talks that around over the last few years was this uncovering of the shadow of ourselves in relation to what we consider our roles in this on this planet, what we consider our roles in this country, or and beyond. This is the time to really look at that shadow. The Pluto in Capricorn, for sure, is we can uncover that structure of that of ourselves. How do we make money? What do we want to manifest? The old system is we know that it's is kind of chugging along, but it's not operating the way it used to, and I there's this thing that I'm certainly there's a concern of mine about that, where the systems have a tendency to break down during this during these alignments, and new systems arise later on. And so we could be looking at down the road the beginnings of new ways of creating money, of trade, financial gain. I think we're in the last throes of this Wall Street illusion we've bought into for many, many years, and that this Trump is one of those things where we can see that it's just the people he's bringing in are similar to the ones that were brought in before around Wall Street people. And then we can see, like, wait a minute, this is the same system that caused us personal shock in 07, 08, and 09. And so we can take it and look at it and go, wait a minute, this is not what I want. I don't want this anymore. And on a personal level, we can go, okay, well, what do I need to do to keep going? Well, this is part of the intent, I think, also in 2017, is with Jupiter in the sign of Libra, of getting together with people, forming new communities, or expanding other communities and bringing them into the fold, reaching out and connecting with them, finding your spiritual groups, your soul groups, your magical groups, bringing them into greater awareness, because those are really solid connections. Those are connections that you want to keep for forever. And this is a time where they're going to be needed more than ever. This is a time where a person can reach out, and we can start helping each other on that level, spiritual, especially spiritual and emotional. So we've got that, and people have done in the last few years, and there continues to be an expansion of those kinds of groups, and we need more of that. We need more energy put toward that, in my opinion. And this is a time where it's not about being solitary and keeping to yourself and not engaging the world. This is where the world needs you. We need the voices. We need the ideas. We need to create the world we want to manifest and live in that's in harmony. So this is a time for that.
Excellent. Wise advice for all of us. So, you know, we're down to the last 7 or so minutes. So what I'd like you to do now is tell people a little bit about shamanic astrology, just in case they've never heard of it before. I know we're kind of, for people who are listening, you've kind of all gotten a sense of like the kind of work that Eric does. But let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll wrap up with where people can find you and what your final word of wisdom is for us.
Okay. Thank you. Shamanic astrology is a type of astrology that is a non-judgmental. It doesn't look at things as necessarily good or bad. It looks at things that with intent. And so a planet in a sign, or a person's born under certain things, there's an intent to that. And we look at specifically, say, planetary cycles as initiations in our lives. And the reason we call it shamanic is that we look at the three classic worlds, the underworld, the celestial world, and the middle world. And they're all operating within us, without us, and operating all the time at the same time. And there's harmony there, or sometimes things come out of balance, but the intent is to come back into balance with them. And in our Western world, we tend to ignore those other two worlds most of the time. And so but in shamanic astrology, we want to honor all three of those, linear time and nonlinear time. And also honor the death and rebirth process that happens within human beings, and that we're here as creatures on this planet to attain wholeness, to search for that truth within ourselves, that meaning. And shamanic astrology honors that process. The ancient shamans and shamans today, they access all of the worlds to at their disposal to help their tribe, their community, their groups, themselves. And shamanic astrology honors that. In addition, what we see up in the night sky, the stars and planets, the sun, the moon, these things are absolutely vital to our existence. It's a solar system, and the galaxy is a system in and of itself as well. And these alignments that take place, they are guides. These are initiators. These are teachers, and we can help ourselves by noticing, by having awareness. You don't have to necessarily go off the definitions I prescribe, but tune into them yourselves and find out what comes down for you, what transmissions happen for you, and how you are working with it. What are your feelings around that? That's some of what shamanic astrology is a lot of what it's about. Not about the dogma of it, but for people to tune into that process, to see it for themselves, and to move with it in harmony with their soul's growth. What's the intent of where they're supposed to go in this lifetime, or and while exercising at the same time their free will to make choices. It's empowerment. What I do here is to help empower people move through their lives as much as possible. Shamanic astrology is not predictive, but we do share, intention here, like I've done today. What is the intent of these cycles? So look for yourself. Take a gander, and when it's not cloudy outside, take a look at the night sky. And even when it's cloudy, we can know that they're up there, and we can tune into those stars and planets ourselves and have guidance.
Excellent. And where can people find you again on the web?
They can find me at inspiralnexus.com, inspiralnexus.com. And you can email me at inspiralnexus@gmail.com. But you can also go to shamanicastrology.com, and I'm there as well. I'm the managing director of the school, my contact information is there. And so I've got my hands in quite a few different pots that I work with, and it's all because I'm passionate about the paradigm, the material, the stars, the planets. This is something that I absolutely love and adore.
Excellent. And any final words of wisdom that you can give us to take with us into 2017?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Be aware. Be aware of what subtle feelings come to you, what epiphanies, what conscious thoughts, why there is meaning behind it all. That from the dreams to each event that happens in our lives, there's meaning there. There's symbology. There's things that we can move forward. We're here to write our new stories, and the old stories no longer apply to us in a sense that on a personal level, we're here to actually create something new. And that the mythologies from the past are applicable, but they're being sort of recreated in our image. And we have the power and the will to do that. So go out there and make that your choice. That would be my suggestion. And just look up in the night sky. Look up, feel the seasons. They're all a part of us. We're tuned in. We're part of that solar system, and Earth is part of that. So we're guided by everything there and everything that happens from the animals to the protons to the climate, the cells, that's and the stars. I mean, that's part of who we are. We're all unified there, and we move in. How do I want to put this? Well, let's just say we're part of the same collective. We're all part of the same. So keep that in mind as things happen in 2017. That we do have power over ourselves, we can use it.
Excellent. All right. Well, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it. You helped me kick off 2017 with the Magical Experiments podcast, and it was great. And I just so appreciate it. And I know all my listeners do as well. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Taylor. I'm really, really happy to be on. So thank you. And you're welcome, of course. Happy New Year.
All right. Well, Happy New Year to all of you. And take care of yourselves and be good to each other. And let's make 2017 a great year.
Absolutely.